Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm the homeschool father of five. Dave Buhner, also in studio with me. And we are out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where I get an hour off of jury duty, and Dave just happened to time his visit right. So we're going to do a couple of radio shows if we can. Dave, I get a little time off jury duty. I can't talk about the explicit details of the case, but I will tell you that I'm learning something about American jurisprudence. And there is something to be said about jury duty. I mean, it's okay. See, the civil magistrate is a important element of our lives, namely because God instituted it. And Dave, I know we kind of kid around about jury duty and about some of our civic duties from time to time, but we ought to be thankful that that God has instituted something of a civil magistrate. And there is something of decorum. There's something of Christian law, at least undergirding our present systems. Our present systems would not exist had it not been for King Alfred the Great, comes to my mind, and of course Christian law all the way through England, all the way through the Western world, and Christian law, common law, and jury-based decisions have been a very important part of freedom, and I'm glad that we still have this extant in our society today. I'm pretty happy about this. I mean, we need to be careful about whining about the civil magistrate. We need to be willing to serve as jurors if we can, and hopefully serve according to the principles of God's words.
Right. I mean, our system is brought to us by people like Alfred and people like Calvin and people like Knox as it works through the English common law system and Blackstone and his commentaries as it comes across to America. And we implement these ideas into a law system. And a law system is a pretty good system. In fact, it's one of the best in the history of mankind.
And as I was looking at the judge and I was thinking about the attorneys, my guess is most of them have no concept what the Christian basis for their law system is. They haven't been fearing God in law schools for, what, about 120 years or so?
I'll bet you the attorneys know more about Amanda Knox than John Knox.
They probably do. Exactly. But Dave, there's a couple of benefits, and let me talk about the benefits. One vote can hang a jury, and I think that's a good thing. I hung a jury one time single-handedly, as I think I have related to you before. I was the guy that hung the jury, and I think I did so on good, solid basis, not just God's law, but also man's law and the legislation that that legislatures had duly processed here in the state of Colorado. I exonerated, or at least hung a jury, in order not to establish the guilt of somebody who I did not think was guilty based upon the evidence that was presented us and based upon the law that had been legislated. And Dave, it's hard to find people who are willing to use a principle upon which to base decisions, but I think we can still do that, and we should still do that. And it protects us from freedom. The jury system protects us, our freedoms, from overeager regulators, and they're all over the place today. Man alive, you can regulate the living daylights out of an innocent person, and it's neat that there are juries that can protect the freedoms of innocent citizens. I think that's a benefit to the jury.
It's a huge benefit. One of the foundational principles of our jury system is that we're not going to have perfect justice here on earth. We understand that. That's a given going in. That's a principle. We believe it's better that a guilty man go free, because there is no guilty men who ultimately go free, because there is a judge in heaven who knows all the laws and who knows all the evidence. And so if you let a guilty man go free, that's far better than calling an innocent man guilty. So our system is based on a cosmic justice system as well.
It can be tough to get a conviction these days, friends, but at least that preserves the innocent from unjust rulings. Dave, as I was watching the info video up front prior to jury selection, there were several things not mentioned, and I thought I'd list this. I took notes with the little info video thing, and I was a good boy. I paid attention the whole time, and I did not see several things mentioned in the info video in the Elbert County jury selection system. And here we go. The first thing I did not notice, Dave, was the qualifications for judges listed in Exodus 18 and 2 Samuel 23. So they forgot to mention the qualifications for judges. So it was not in the info video that was presented prior to jury selection here in Elbert County.
To be a judge, you have to furnish your own robe, your own gavel, and you're in.
Well, able men, hate covetousness, fear God. Those were the things not mentioned.
I wonder why.
Probably because it's been a little while since the Bible has been referenced by the Western Christian law system, and friends was not there. And also,
Kevin, my theory is that they don't fear the judge. Otherwise, they would appoint judges according to that judge.
Yeah, they would. They would.
The supreme judge.
And Dave, you understand that jury selection effectively is trying to identify people who have very little in terms of opinion,
and who probably read National Enquirer really are not really tuned into what's going on in the world around them. I think that's preferred by many of the attorneys, maybe not all the attorneys, but they're not looking for able men who fear God and hate covetousness and love the truth necessarily. Now I think the truth is still something of a value, but here's something else that was not mentioned in the info video prior to selection at the jury in Elbert County. God's law trumping all laws. They forgot to mention that.
Well, God's law is law, and all other laws are subordinate to God's law.
They didn't mention that.
Application of God's law.
They did not even touch on that.
So they didn't go to supreme law. So no. They didn't go to supreme judge. They didn't go to supreme law.
They also forgot to mention how to hang a jury to defend innocent people who have not broken God's laws as defined by two or three witnesses.
You mean like hang up a jury, not like hang the guilty guy.
No, hang the jury. To hang the jury means that if you've got a law that is unjust, or if you've got a lack of evidence, one juror can hang that jury.
That's right.
He may not be convinced, and he may not be convinced based upon a standard that is set more by Scripture than is by our present law system today. And Dave, I would say two to three witnesses, some level of substantiation is important in law today, but is not typically mentioned too much in the average trial today. Also, jury nullification was not mentioned either, which is interesting. I mean, the jury info videos do not mention jury nullification. And by the way, you probably have to do a little Google search on that one if you want to know what jury nullification is.
And if you even mention that when they ask you questions after lunch, you're out.
Yeah.
If you even heard of the term, you're out.
If you say, a judge, I have a question for you. What is jury nullification, and can I, you're out of the game, see you later. All right. But as it turns out, that's a pretty important part of American jurisprudence history, and not mentioned too much in the info videos prior to selection in juries in the present day. David, as it turns out, most of the cases these days are not all that substantial. I think that's the first, I think, disappointment that the average person receives when he is selected to a jury. Because, Dave, most of the cases are fairly regulatory. They're not true blue, gross negligence cases or serious cases of sexual crimes like adultery. I mean, you just don't get that. You don't really get crimes that are true blue crimes, generally speaking. And when they are serious, now, occasionally you will get a serious crime. When they are a serious crime and the plaintiffs actually get convicted, the criminals only get a slap on the wrist, about the same punishment that the regulatory crimes receive. So you get it, Dave? I mean, when you finally do get a trial with a true blue criminal who actually committed adultery or actually shot somebody and murdered somebody, Dave, the punishments are minimal, and they're pretty much, they're a lot like what you get with the typical regulatory trials or crimes that are prosecuted in courtrooms all over America today.
Kevin, let's just point it out. Kent Hovind, the creationist, got more years in jail
than your average rapist.
Than your average murderer.
Yeah. Murderer. Yeah. Kent Hovind serving more time than your average murderer or your average rapist in America. Okay, so that's the American legal system. On the one hand, I'm positive. I'm happy there's a little decorum, and I'm happy that there's two or three witnesses. I'm happy that it's a little tough to convict some folks sometimes, but friends, regulatory law is everywhere, and they're regulating. Everything's a preemptive regulatory fine and punishment for every little thing before anybody has actually really hurt anybody, before anybody's actually committed a sexual crime, or before anybody has actually murdered somebody or robbed the bank. Before any of that happens, they're fining you for carrying a gun in the wrong position, the wrong place, the wrong time. Or they're fining you for not putting a porta potty on your property at the right time. Or they're fining you for this or that or the other thing. There's hundreds of thousands of regulatory crimes. And I'm sorry, if you're a juror on your average jury trial, you're probably not going to get to be on a trial of a bona fide crime that should require a severe punishment according to the laws of God. All right, I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I've got an hour off on jury selection today in Elbert County, Colorado. I'll be back in just a moment.
And we are back in the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, broadcasting from Colorado, the Eastern Plains of Colorado, where I am on my lunch break from jury proceedings in Edward County. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. And Dave, again, I'd like to encourage people to be faithful, to show up to their jury selections, and serve. Serve according to the principles of the laws of God, of the principles of God's word, and also be sure that you serve according to the principles of the laws of the state. So we want to make sure we respect the laws of the state. Of course, the big question is when the laws of the state in some way controvert the laws of God, what do you do? And my encouragement to you is look up the term jury nullification on google.com. All right, now, folks, right now, Colorado is going through a very severe time, very, very difficult time in the history of the state. Friends, we had floods last week that destroyed 1,500 homes. Some of you read about what happened with the floods in Colorado, the worst. Somebody said this when I was down at the jury selection here in Elbert. They said that this is the worst in 500 years, but who would know? This is the worst rains and floods in 500 years. Not that many people died, and that's a blessing. I think so far 4 to 5 are confirmed dead, and that's a very sad thing, but it was nowhere near as bad as some of the previous floods were. I'm thinking the flood in 1975, I believe, that ran down a canyon and killed over 100 people. We didn't have anything quite that severe, but in terms of property damage, friends, this was the worst flood in Colorado history, as far back as we can find. 1,500 houses destroyed and damaged another 20,000 homes or so. This was a severe natural disaster, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But Dave, isn't it interesting that we are seeing the worst floods in Colorado history this year and the worst fire in Colorado history by way of property damage, as well as a terrible, terrible fire, the second worst fire last year in Colorado history. And I'm here to say, friends, God is sovereign over this. We're still waiting for the governor to acknowledge God's sovereignty and proclaim a day of prayer and fasting. Has not happened yet. I'm here to report from the Eastern Plains of Colorado, the governor Hickenlooper is not interested in God, in God's sovereignty, or in appealing to God for any of his help. Of course, Dave, sometimes they do appeal a bit to God for his blessing. You still hear somebody from time to time in Colorado or in America say, God bless America. But the worldview of our leaders is a brute force universe where everything happens by brute chance. And there's no purpose, there's no meaning to anything that happens in the universe, friends, including the floods and the fires. No meaning, no purpose. Ultimately, there is no causal force behind this, but brute force. And that, of course, makes it a little odd that they say, God bless America, since God cannot even control these puny little floods on the third rock from the sun, or meteorites that swing into our atmosphere and destroy our planet. If God can't control any of this, friends, how in the world should we be saying, God bless America, if he can't bless America? If he can't protect America, if he has no control of meteorites and floods and fires, okay? So why in the world do we say this puny God ought to bless America? This puny God can't actually control anything that happens to America or to this world. Of course, that's an internal contradiction in those that still retain something of a biblical worldview, something of a little remnant of a Christian past. Well, they'll stand up in the midst of a very bad time and say, God bless America. And yet, in the next breath, they'll say it was chance, it was brute force, chance that brought about all of this destruction in our world or our state, and it's just our bad luck. Dave, that's their worldview. That's what they believe. And yet they won't be self-consistent when they say, God bless America. God can't bless America if God is not in control of what happens to America. Hello? Hello?
You have to wonder, what does God have to do to get to the attention of Colorado? Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to hear him when he speaks a quiet voice, when he brings prosperity and beautiful sunshine, you look out to the mountains to the west here along the Front Range, and every night you see an incredible painted sunset. People from all over the country come to Colorado and they stay with us and they go, wow, that's the prettiest sunset I've ever seen. Do you have these all the time? We say, no, we don't have them all the time. We only get them about once a night.
Yeah, every day or two.
You know, and you look at the beauty and the and of course, those who bow the knee to Christ, we marvel at what he's doing. But what does God have to do to get the attention of the others? If they're not going to worship him in beauty, he's going to have to bring calamity. I'm reminded, Kevin, of a movie I saw lately. I had to stop it with my children. In the midst of this movie, the hero is at wit's end. He is desperate for help. And he looks up to heaven and he says, if you are there, prove to me you are there. Show me you're there. And I stopped the film. And I said, children, this man would not come to God on God's terms. And he demands that God would come to him on his terms. Yeah, yeah. He believes he's sovereign over God, that he can extend to God the offer. Hey, God, you know what? I'll worship you if you do X, Y, and Z for me. Well, God's not a prostitute that's going to be paid for his love. Mm-hmm. And you have to say to Colorado, God is calling out to you, fear the ever-living God.
And is it a coincidence, friends? Is it a coincidence? Now, of course, the other side thinks everything's a coincidence and everything's brute force. There's no purpose, no meaning to anything that ever happens in life. So there's obviously no evil that could possibly happen if there's no meaning or no purpose or no basic ethical definition on any absolute terms that would define what is good and evil. Okay, so that's the other worldview. But I'm asking those of you who still have something of a coherent worldview. Let me ask you this. Is it a coincidence that this was the worst year politically in the history of Colorado, at least if you use God's law as a means of determining human ethics? Our legislators did the worst possible things this year than I have ever witnessed in the 20-some years I've been in Colorado. Our legislators committed homosexual acts on the front page of the Denver Post. Dave, you remember that? So here we have the very worst year in Colorado's history in terms of, you know, let's kill as many babies as possible. Let's make sure we encourage as much decadent homosexual activity as possible. Let's break God's law with impudence at every single level. Okay, every single level, let's make sure that we offend whoever wrote the Bible. So we have the worst year possible politically in the state of Colorado, and it happens to be the worst year ever in terms of flood and fire damage in Colorado's history. That is a weird coincidence. Interesting, to say the least, huh, Dave? Interesting.
It is. And allow me a little freedom here with First Peter. In Colorado this last year, we walked in lewdness and lusts and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries.
Marijuana.
And abominable idolatries. Pot. And they think it's strange down at the Gold Dome that we are not running with them in the same flood of dissipation. Sometimes when you're in a flood of dissipation, God might bring a real flood to show you the consequences of the flood of your dissipation. In other words, if you're going to run in sin, though God is merciful and though God is patient, his patience is not infinite, eternal. His patience one day will come to an end. There will be a day of judgment. I believe that God was very merciful to Colorado in bringing fires and merciful to Colorado in bringing floods, because he's trying to wake up people. He's giving us fair warning that if those who will not bow the knee will be all the more culpable for hell, and those who will, God will use this event that their hearts would be ready to receive the word of God and be regenerated from dead man's bones to living things. It's a very gracious act.
And I know the masses that listen to the show think we're crazy. I know the masses are godless. They cannot believe there is a God. They cannot believe that he has a law and that he might get a little upset from time to time with Sodom and Gomorrah or Tyre and Sidon or Babylon, Assyria, Persia, Greece, or Rome. They cannot believe that there's a God. They can't believe that they could offend him so egregiously by acting out a homosexual act on the front page of the Denver Post, as our leaders did a couple of months ago. And friends, it was an attempt to be shocking. It was an attempt to give God, to show God the proverbial finger. And friends, okay, they can't believe that there is a God who could bring a worldwide flood, or could bring a destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah, or who could bring a destruction upon the world, or who could bring a flood or a fire to Colorado, and it would be the very worst disaster in terms of property damage that Colorado has seen in 100 years, in the very, very worst year politically we have ever faced in terms of our legislators standing against the principles of God's laws on every single point that they could possibly stand. Well, my friends, we're pretty careful to say there isn't a one-for-one. God acts, and we can't say that he brings judgment because of X, Y, or Z. But we can say in the broad sense that God continues to issue calls of repentance and a shot across the bow, a warning shot, to people in the state of Colorado by these natural disasters. He does try to wake them up. He brings these natural disasters. This is God who acts as he always acts. This is not brute force. God is behind everything that happens. The sovereign God of heaven and earth is behind everything that happens. And it's for us to wake up and say, oh, he's trying to get our attention. And maybe we ought to repent of our sins. And maybe we ought to turn back to God in humility and the fear of God. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And perhaps we ought to be teaching the fear of God. And perhaps we ought to be doing that from the gubernatorial office of the state of Colorado. Perhaps the governor himself ought to be trembling a little bit. Perhaps he ought to tremble enough to perhaps spill a bit of his cappuccino as he gives the State of the Union address this next January, or the State of the State address. All right. So, and maybe even pastors. It would be even better, Dave, if pastors would spill their cappuccinos on Sunday morning because of a little trembling in the face of God and, you know, fear God and encourage others to fear God on a Sunday morning. That'd be a really good start.
It would be a good start if pastors actually believed that there was a wall of water, a judgment coming upon the people, and that judgment was imminent, and they had a short time in which to speak the word of God and the words of grace to those who would receive. We have a short time, Kevin. We simply do not know when those within our hearing will no longer be able to hear us. And we do know this, that based on the parable of Lazarus, there is a great gulf separating the dead, and nobody crosses it. And so we have but one opportunity to bow the knee to Christ and to receive his grace in an eternal, effective way. And after that, there's death and judgment.
And I want to press self-consistency upon every leader in the state of Colorado that listens to this radio program. Self-consistency, whatever you do, do not pray to a God who has no sovereign control over anything that happens. Don't you just stop praying to God. And whatever you do, stop saying, God bless America, if he's a puny God that can't pull it off against Mother Nature and the forces of nature and the brute force of the universe that brings all the natural disasters, that destroys our nations and destroys planet Earth after 50,000 years because there is no God, et cetera, et cetera. If that's your worldview, if you're a naturalistic, materialistic outlook on things and you don't see a supernatural God whose hands are involved in the sparrows that fall and the empires that rise, as Benjamin Franklin would say at the Constitutional Convention, if you don't believe that, then stop saying God bless America. And stop praying to him. Now, I want to say that would be bad if you were that self-consistent, so I'm going to ask you to be self-consistent in the other direction, and that is to understand that there is a God, and he is in control of all things, and he can bless America, and he can curse America. It goes both ways, and I know we tend to be an arrogant country that can't believe that God would do anything but good things to us because we've been so wonderful, and we're just such a neat bunch of people, and we've been told that, I know. Our self-esteem has been uplifted in the public schools and the universities and the media for the last 50 years or so. But I'm here to tell you that you need to understand that you're not as good as you think you are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And over the last 10 to 15 to 20 years, certainly we have sinned in more egregious ways as a state. And so God calls all men everywhere to repent. And we're making that call today on this generation's radio broadcast. Understand there is a God in the heavens. He does judge. He has judged. He is behind natural disasters. And yes, there is a great judgment yet to come. These are all precursors of what's yet to come. So it's now. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time for repentance. Now is the time to get right with this God, which means that you turn from your sins, you plead the mercy of Christ, understand that he died on the cross for our sins, and repent of your sins. That is, develop a change of perspective and change of mind towards the sinful lifestyle you once lived and start living your life for Christ. Live a life of faith and repentance before him and then look forward to an eternity of glory. Friends, there is a heaven and there is a hell. On earth, we can see that there is something good that happens. There is something bad that happens. Just put an exponent on that good and put a big old exponent on that bad when it comes to the future state of heaven and hell. Now is the time for repentance, and I encourage you to come to faith in Jesus Christ and understand that his sacrifice is sufficient for our sins, and turn from your evil ways to serve the true and living God. This, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there was ever a time when we need to get back to this message, and churches all over Colorado, all over America need to be preaching this message, it's right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. I would encourage you to copy this program to friends and relatives all over the world as we bring the truth of a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective concerning reality and concerning salvation on this radio broadcast. You can also get some of our Bible study guides at our website, kevinswanson.com. I would encourage you to train your children in the right perspective, the right way of looking at the world. And that comes, of course, from the truth of the Word of God. And I have summarized these Bible portions in my Bible study guides on the book of Genesis, the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs, and the book of Matthew. All of these available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.